Welcome to the Health Policy Research Consortium podcast, a product of the Health Policy Research Consortium, a CTIS program, your weekly podcast empowering communities to use policy as a vehicle to improve their health and learn how to mobilize your community to create positive change where you live, work, and worship. Wait not a minute more. It's time to get started with the Health Policy Research Consortium podcast.
Welcome to the Health Policy Research Consortium podcast. I'm your host, Patricia Terrell, and our guest for today is Siobhan Arline Bradley. She is the founding principal of Reach Beyond Solutions, LLC. Today, Siobhan is going to talk about income insecurity, the effects income insecurity can have on our health, and what we can do about it. Siobhan Arline Bradley, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's talk about income insecurity. What exactly is that?
It's a great question. When we think about income insecurity, I know many think of it as not knowing where your next paycheck is coming from, when you're unable to identify a financial source for your ability to survive, meaning to pay your bills, to ensure there's food and shelter for your family. And when we talk about not making your ends meet, income insecurity is a major challenge for many communities across this country, even regardless of race and geography. And so income insecurity allows us to assess how someone is able to provide for their basic needs of their families and their homes.
So people who are maybe living from paycheck to paycheck, is that a form of income insecurity?
It is, because paycheck to paycheck means if there is an emergency, if there is something that comes up for a family, income insecurity says I do not have an X amount of dollars or X amount of resources available to me to be able to handle that emergency. This is why for those of us that are in health, particularly in public health, we understand that income is directly connected to one's long-term health outcome. If you do not have resources, then there are many times you will not have good health.
Yes, and we're going to talk about that later in the podcast. One other thing I want to ask, you also focus on income inequality. Is that different than income insecurity?
It's a little bit different. Inequality means that you do not have equal access. So your playing field is not the same as others. So someone that has income equality, that means that you have the same opportunities to earn the same amount of money as your counterpart. We do find that, particularly in communities of color, inequality means that you do not have the same starting point as your counterpart. So I am an African-American woman, and there are major challenges with income inequality, particularly for women and women of color. That means in comparison to our male counterparts and our white female counterparts, there may be some differences in the amount of funds that are available to me for salary and for gross income.
Interesting. And can you tell us then, how does your organization REACH? And I understand that it is spelled with acronyms, so you'll have to help us to understand exactly what REACH does and what do the acronyms mean.
Sure. Reach Beyond Solutions is an LLC. It is actually my executive leadership firm that is geared toward public health, advancing faith sectors, and building the capacity of community-based organizations, foundations, corporate leaders, and government partners. So REACH stands for the following acronyms: Religious and Faith Leadership Development, Executive Leadership and Executive Engagement, Advocacy and Policy, Coaching, Counseling and Connecting, and Health and Health Equity. So what I have done with the LLC, REACH provides services to communities, particularly communities of color, to actually engage them on how to become their own advocate. In addition, I have been tasked by many of my clients to support them in working on issues relating to public health, health equity, social determinants of health, which means those systems and sectors that affect one's health outcomes, as well as guiding corporate leaders and government leaders and faith leaders to understand their role in creating healthy communities in this country.
Interesting work that you're doing. So let's talk about something you mentioned earlier, that income insecurity can affect our health. Tell us how.
Absolutely. And so we are in a time in our country where, and I will tell you, I guess over the last 9 years or so, the health conversation has been at the forefront of all of our television sets when you think about things like the Affordable Care Act, how policy and policymakers have weighed in. But when you think about income insecurity, if an individual or their family does not have access to healthcare, meaning through their employer or even through the Affordable Care Act or ways that they can access healthcare, if you do not have resources to pay your premiums, then you may not receive the appropriate care. And this actually puts a burden on our financial system as a country. So one's individual insecurity actually has implications for our larger United States healthcare system. So yes, insecurity can affect one's health outcomes because if you do not have access to quality health care, you do not have access to a medical home, and do not have resources to pay for those services, you are then at risk for some of the most common preventable diseases in our country.
Such as?
Such as cardiovascular disease, issues like HIV, understanding the prevention for reproductive health, issues like diabetes, not understanding if I am income insecure, that even purchasing healthy food might be a challenge for me, and I may be at risk for diabetes. Long-term challenges with cardiovascular disease because of income insecurity. And one more thing to add to that. If I'm income insecure, I choose to select those items or make purchases for my family's basic needs. So when you think about gym memberships and becoming physically active, many persons are feeling the actual challenges of creating a healthy lifestyle for themselves because they have to choose their rent, their mortgage, their food over becoming physically active and joining a gym or having exercise class or cooking class. So these are long-term issues that we have seen grow over the course of the years based on our country's healthy lifestyle plan.
And not to mention the underlying stress that exists from knowing you do not have adequate income resources, right?
About stress, that goes also into behavioral health, challenges with mental health. If you're having excessive amounts of stress, trying to keep your family from going bankrupt, trying to pay your bills, trying to ensure that you keep your job, and if you're in a community of color, thinking about issues like discrimination and long-term oppressive challenges in our country, you might be at risk for a major stress response, and that leads to heart attacks. That can lead to other challenges that are really requiring behavioral health support. You may need a counselor. You may need a psychiatrist to support you through these processes. These are things that are a vicious cycle. It's almost like a domino effect. When one thing happens, other things begin to fall.
Absolutely. And once you get into that cycle, it's hard to get out of it. And that's why we need people like you and your company and what you offer. So how do you help someone to deal better with the income insecurity that exists?
So that's a great question. You know, part of this is around addressing social determinants of health. And social determinants of health are a larger view of how one's education, housing, economics, access to quality care affects their long-term health outcomes. So your environment, those things that you are predetermined to have, your race, the geography, the area that you live in, those things can actually affect your health outcomes. And if someone wants to work on insecurity, we talk about ways to provide opportunities for healthy living that are affordable. When you look at prevention, opportunities to engage in healthy living and healthy lifestyle, these are actually the first line of defense towards preventing long-term health care challenges. So if I am talking to a family, one thing that I say is that, you know, we always think about being healthy on a budget. So how do you prepare foods that are within your culture, that are within your context, but also help stay inside your purse strings as well? Thinking about also engaging in physical activity. Well, you know, you may say, Siobhan, I don't live in a safe space. I can't go outside just for a walk, but my neighborhood is not conducive for that. But we think about ways for you to be physically active at work, physically active even in your homes with your family. How you can create healthy lifestyles, keep it inside your budget, but also help your long-term health outcomes improve. The United States Surgeon General, the 19th Surgeon General, who was the Surgeon General I worked for, he created a call to action on walking and walkability and rollability. And one of the things that he would talk about is 22 minutes a day of moderate physical activity, dancing, walking from your car, engaging in more steps during the day, can actually help with some of your long-term chronic disease challenges. So if you're someone that's on a budget, you have to find ways that are conducive to create healthy lifestyles, but also stay within your family's means. One more thing to add here, I do want to say this. Income insecurity is also a measure of the access to education that you have. So if someone has not talked to you about the importance of saving, the importance of investing, the importance of identifying opportunities for your money to grow for you, even if it's not a lot of money, those are some of those practices that can actually help a family, can help them with debt, can help them with paying off loans, that can help them with ensuring that they have the basic necessities and are living comfortably.
Yes, it's about making the right decisions, which you have control over. And I can see what, you know, something you just said earlier, dancing. I mean, make it fun. Turn on that music, dance in the living room until you sweat, right? That's
doing your chores, you know, a couple of steps up and down the steps in your home or outside, you know. And you know what? Making it a part of your family's engagement as well. This is about also, you think about those are parents that maybe listen to this podcast. You know, if your child is in an extracurricular activity, way for you to be involved is to take a walk around that activity while you're watching your young person. You know, we see moms now going to their kids' basketball games and taking walks around the gym, you know. So those are opportunities that we're talking about. Making choices, but I do want to address something you said. Making choices that you have control over, because there are some things that we don't have control over, and that's where our country has struggled the most.
Absolutely. This is so interesting. So you mentioned earlier about policy. What does policy have to do with our income insecurity, first of all?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you're looking at policy, so policy in writing is an action that's adopted by a government or a party that oversees how we operate. And so you look at policies, and something that I'm working on right now, actually, is in oral health, meaning your dentist. There is work being done out there right now where there are a lot of families that have health care coverage, but their health care coverage does not cover dental coverage. That's a policy issue. And if I'm someone that is income insecure, I'm going to choose my regular pediatrician over my dentist. But the challenge with that is children and families with poor oral health can be at risk for issues like diabetes and heart disease. And many families do not know this. So it is important to understand that those policies that are in place, some that are federal, some that are state, some that are connected to your insurer, some policies are even connected to how you have access to your funds. It is imperative that your listeners understand that they have a role in finding out how policies are affecting their home. And if I'm someone that's income insecure, I still have voice. Regardless of where you are in your income insecurity or lack of access to resources, you are a voter, you still have voice. You should be looking at what kind of policies are out there for my health care. What kind of policies dictate how I'm able to function for my family's long-term care, for my family's ability to access fresh fruits and vegetables. There's one example that I want to share with you as well. You think about SNAP. We know that as food stamps. Well, there are many families that used to not be able to access fresh fruits and vegetables. There was a higher cost. And what we found was that it was important for advocates to push the envelope and say, you know what, families that are struggling, that need this support, that represent every racial and ethnic group in this country, need to have access and not be charged more for fresh fruits and vegetables. These are the kinds of policies that are important for people to know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned something interesting that I always like to talk about. And you said we have a voice. Everyone can do something. And you said vote. Tell us what we can do to impact policy. What are our options?
Oh, yes. You always have options. Options, as a citizen of this country, one of our most important rights, our inalienable right, is to have voice. And that is through our vote. We begin as a community, we can actually dictate based on our vote. We can dictate those values that we believe in. Access to health care, if that's a value system, we as citizens should be researching every candidate that runs for office. So number one, you can vote. I say it this way, I use the ease. You should be enlightened. You should learn everything that there is to know about the issues that are most important to you, your children, your educational policies, your health care policies, your fiscal policies, meaning your finances. You should be enlightened on those. Then you need to get empowered. That is going out to actually vote. That is, as a citizen, there are a lot of public policies that come out that ask for public opinion. Do you know that many people are not utilizing their ability to respond to federal policies and plans because they don't know that they can go online and respond with their concerns about a public policy? And here's the E. You got to get excited about this work. You should be engaging in every election. You should go to roundtables. You should hear from candidates. You should call your legislators. Get excited. Get engaged. Be informed about all the things that are happening in your community. Because if you don't do this, people will be voted in to make a decision for you. And if your voice is not heard, then your voice does not count. And that's a way that we should ask people to get involved.
That's excellent. I just added another E. How about that?
I love it.
Yes, indeed. Well, you know, this is so, so exciting and interesting what you're talking about. And when it comes to the main message that you would like for our audience to take away from our conversation today, what would it be?
That there is hope. There is hope, even for persons living with challenges with income insecurity. You know, our country is a country that has many challenges. But I want people to see that there are opportunities that are out there. And there are ways for us to be engaged on the front line of making sure that every family has access to resources. And you do that by getting informed, finding out what are those policies that are affecting my family. I would say the second message is that without your voice being heard, things cannot change. Complacency is our biggest enemy. We cannot be complacent in our current state. So we should push the government. We should push our schools. We should push our faith leaders. We should push the business sector to not overlook the persons that are most marginalized. When you're talking about income insecurity, many of those communities are communities of color that for centuries have been oppressed and looked down upon. You have voice. The last message is this, that there is a plan for all of us. And I don't tell people put on your bootstraps and go to work because that's an assumption that everyone has boots. I always say that. I'm very cautious about that because we all grow up in very different environments. But what I will say is this, when you get the opportunity, take advantage, leverage it, and reach back and bring someone with you. Each one teach one and each one lead one. That's my message for your listeners.
Very, very powerful message. Very, very powerful interview and the things that you're doing, Siobhan. I just, I'm kind of blown away, really. And I really am. So I've been speaking with Siobhan Arline Bradley, the founding principal of REACH, R-E-A-C-H, Beyond Solutions, LLC. We've been talking about income insecurity, income inequality, how they both affect our health, and what we can do about it. Siobhan, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Health Policy Research Consortium podcast. Remember, you have the power to use policy to improve your picture of health where you live, work, and worship. For more information on the Health Policy Research Consortium podcast, visit our website at www.hprc.info and like us on our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr.
The research and information that we report during this show was supported by the National Institute on Minority Health and Health Disparities of the National Institutes of Health under award number 5U54MD008-60802. The content is solely the responsibility of the authors and does not necessarily represent the official views of the National Institutes of Health.